So I just want to start with saying I love you guys. I mean, you guys are amazing. I should say we love you guys. I'm speaking for my whole family, even extended family. My extended family that's been up here has just fallen in love with you guys in this community. So we truly praise God every day for you guys and for just how God rewards his servants and his faithful. And so thank you. Thank you very much for your love for us and your prayers for us. We are certainly appreciative. Thank you for all your help this coming Friday at 10 o'clock at the Parsonage too, by the way. Anyhow, truly thank you. And boy, you guys sound amazing. What a wonderful time of worship. Thank you. I love... you know, how great thou art, and to just stop and listen to the choir lifting up how great our God is and all that. So better quit or I'll start crying and nobody wants to see that. Anyway, all right. You guys know that one of the reasons we feel so blessed for being here is that we happen to really like canoes. We like canoes, we like canoeing, and we love the places that canoes and canoeing gets us to. We love the wilderness and the remoteness. And you guys know that. A lot of friends know that about me. Something else I'm sure you're aware of is that when I like something like that, I tend to research it and investigate it and learn a little bit about it. And so I have been asked regularly, repeatedly by many, some of you in here, many people, about canoes. I'm thinking about a canoe. What should I get for a canoe? What do you think of this model? Or I'm asked regularly, help me get the right canoe. And canoes are very much like golf clubs. They have a different purpose. You don't putt with a driver and you don't tee off with a putter. Same with canoes. So different canoes have different purposes. I'm asked regularly about canoes. I'm very seldom ever asked about paddles, about the right paddle, a different type of paddle. What's the correct paddle? Canoes have certain designs, and that's important. You want the right canoe for the right purpose, and paddles are the same way. Many different sizes, many different types of paddles. People having the correct paddle is vital. It's very, very important to have the right paddle. I've got a couple of illustrations down here that I'll grab. This one I was able to borrow. This is an example of a paddle. It's interesting. Interesting. Ours, I guess, are in the upstairs of our shed and hard to get to the plastic ones. But this is a kind of a old school paddle, classic plastic type paddle, aluminum shaft. It's got a funky grip on the top. It's extendable. Cool. All right. So now you can really reach out there and get some heavy strokes. But this is an example of a paddle, a certain paddle, type of paddle. And so can you use this paddle and get, I'm going to hand it to Miss Diana. Thank you. Can you use that paddle and get from here to there? The answer is yes, I guess, I think. I think so. You probably can. Can you get from here to there with the wrong canoe and the wrong water and the wrong paddle, using it the wrong way? Yeah. Yes, you can. We've all seen that happen. It's ugly, very ugly to watch. It's inefficient to use the wrong paddle in the wrong canoe. It's tiring to do that. In fact, you lose any joy that there is in correct paddling. Having the right paddle is very important. All right, I'm going to grab this one here, I think. I'm going to grab this one. Okay, this is the reason, Teresa, I have to have so many paddles, is to preach a good sermon. So I need some more paddles. This is an example of, well, who knows what this is called? Is it broken? No, that's a bent shaft. That's by design. How many people have used it or seen people using it like this? Like a big spoon grabbing, hopefully the camera can catch that. Yeah, this is wrong way to use it. a lot of people don't know. They've never seen one. I've had several people say, what happened? Did you run over the pallet? No, it's by design. It's efficient. We won't go into all the details. If you want to know more, come see me on Monday. We'll have coffee and I'll tell you all about paddles. The idea is that having the right paddle is important, and then understanding how to correctly use the right paddle is so important. Once you've got that right paddle for the right situation, and there are many designs. I've got a couple down there that we won't go into the details, but proper paddling of a canoe is so much more enjoyable. It's proper paddling can, I think, is maybe one of the most, one of the most misunderstood things out there. The sport of canoeing in general is greatly misunderstood. It's not grasped that there is a correct way to do it. Misunderstood, underrated, even intimidating, and sometimes quite stressful. Have you ever heard that a canoe is called a double-ended divorce machine? Kayaks are for people that didn't get along with their canoeing partner. It hurts to watch people attempt to paddle and do it wrong, doing it incorrectly. It hurts to watch people flail around with the wrong paddle and hack at the water and splash around and argue, and the canoe goes here and there and zigzagging all around, even spinning backwards. Have you seen people facing each other in canoes, holding those broken bent shaft paddles the wrong way? They don't know. Many people don't want to know. They don't really want to know the right and correct way, or maybe even almost as bad as they think they know the right way, but they really don't. Some have done it maybe once or twice a year for decades, and so they think they're very experienced paddlers. They've done it wrong, and they don't really know, and then they really don't like it that much. It's kind of hard, and the canoe never goes where we want, and so it's just, why would I enjoy paddling? It's misunderstood. Proper paddling, however, with the proper paddle, the proper technique, is a thing of beauty. Proper paddling is enjoyable. It's an art form. Proper paddling, making that canoe go right where you want, it's an act of art. It's gorgeous. It's peaceful. The connection that you get with the right paddle, beautiful paddle. Hand me that second one, Miss Diana. Thank you. You're my best assistant right now. This is one of my favorite, made in Minnesota, southern Minnesota, Sanborn canoe paddles. Having the right paddle and using it correctly at just the right moment and bringing it out of the water, it's a connection to nature, to the canoe, to the water that you just can't imagine. It's beautiful and gorgeous, and it's fun. It's greatly enjoyable. We were watching The Chosen Tuesday night, all that to finally get to where we're actually headed. We were watching The Chosen Tuesday night, and I actually had a different sermon series in mind, and I'm sure we'll get to it eventually. But The Chosen, something that happened during the show really impacted me, and it changed the course for these next couple of weeks. And that is, during The Chosen, the disciples are walking along with Jesus, and sometimes Jesus is gone. He's praying or he's ministering or something, and the disciples, the camera just follows them, and they're arguing. They don't understand what's going on. They've come from different walks of life, and they are bickering and arguing. Who is this Jesus? Is he the long-awaited king to deliver Israel finally out of the hands of the Romans? And is he going to conquer? What's going on with this Jesus? And they just don't get it. Jesus is healing people, and I love the way they portray how he answers or doesn't answer their questions. It's truly marvelous. But last Tuesday, the disciples were discussing, and Jesus comes up, and they begin to ask Jesus some other questions about, you know, are they finally going to be delivered from Rome, and what's the future hold? And Jesus isn't really answering, or he's dodging that question. And then finally, I think it was Peter, says, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? And the whole mood changed. It radically changed, and Jesus lit up. he was elated, and he responded by saying, now you're asking the right question. Now you're on the right track. I think that prayer is greatly misunderstood. I think that proper prayer is misused and even intimidating at times. I think that a lot of people have prayed some here and there once a week, once a month, even every day, and have never really made that proper connection to the God of the universe. I think that sadly many people don't pray as often as they should. And I think that sadly many people don't enjoy it near as much as we absolutely should. And so today we're going to take a look at the Lord's Prayer, and not really proper paddling, but proper praying, how it is that we can pray in the way that Jesus taught us to pray. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew chapter 6. It's right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, and one of the most amazing, well, the most amazing sermon ever recorded. It's one of the most amazing parts in Scripture. Matthews 5, 6, and 7 record Jesus speaking to his disciples, many, many followers, us here today, teaching about the coming kingdom of God. He's changing all the rules, rituals, regulations, and religion. And he's saying it's not about your actions, it's actually about your heart. Your heart is the key. It just changed everything. Jesus changed everything, and he speaks this bold, incredible truth to them and us today. There along the shores of the Sea of Galilee, I've been to the place where they think it could have potentially been spoken, and it's a natural amphitheater. Jesus could sit down by the water or on the water and speak to a huge crowd very, very easily. It's amazing. But know that we're jumping into the middle of the middle of the middle of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and this is a very familiar passage to many of you. But I think we can gain a lot by further understanding, deeper, diving deeper into this Lord's Prayer, that we can pray properly. God's Word says, Matthew 6, beginning in verse 9, therefore you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us together in this place today to praise and worship you and to share in your word. And Lord, I thank you for your word, for this message that you've given me. And Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will take this truth, this model prayer, and you will speak it and teach it through me this morning, boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask you to open up our hearts and minds to better understand who you are, what you've done, how it is that we can serve you, how we can pray to you more efficiently. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. And the whole church said, amen. The idea behind today's message is that every disciple, every follower of Jesus, really any person can properly pray if you follow Jesus' example here, this model that Jesus laid out for us. Now, the Lord's Prayer, I know it can be potentially confusing. Maybe you grew up in church. Maybe you grew up in a church that recited the Lord's Prayer every single Sunday. Maybe you were taught as a kid to memorize the prayer, and those aren't necessarily bad things. Those are good things, but maybe it's led to some confusion about what is this Lord's Prayer. Is this Jesus saying, when you pray, pray this, pray these words like this? Are we supposed to memorize it and then recite it regularly? And I believe the answer is no. Again, that's a good thing to do, but I think it's caused some confusion or misunderstanding. Jesus, in this passage, is telling us when we pray, pray like this. use this model. Pray the way Jesus prayed, not praying what Jesus prayed. That's a big distinction. This Lord's Prayer, I believe, is a beautiful, pertinent outline for us to follow when we come to the Lord in humble adoration and prayer. Beautiful outline for proper prayer. One of the lines from the movie, from the show, The Chosen, Tuesday night, that I absolutely loved. When you hear Jesus speak, is that Jesus speaking right now? When you hear Jesus speak, it's so cool to hear the way he answers. And I believe the producers have been very accurate in the way they have portrayed the way Jesus speaks and the way he answers. And Jesus, speaking of prayer, he said, "Prayer lines your heart and your mind up and prepares your heart and your mind to encounter the Lord." Wow, that's huge. How many times do we come to the Lord in prayer and realize it's preparing us to simply hear from him? Generally, we come with this long prayer list of all these things we're telling God that he'd better do and should hurry up and do it. I loved that quote. Prayer is preparing our hearts and our minds to encounter the Lord, to hear from the Lord. Now, this Lord's Prayer is made up of seven different petitions that Jesus mentioned and brings out. Today, we're going to look at the first three. The first three are about God, addressing God. And the last four, then, are about us, about our own wants or needs. So today, this week, it's about the first three. And it begins, "Therefore, you should pray like this." Remember, we're looking at an outline, a model for us to follow. And he begins with "Our Father." And I love that that word, our Father, addressing God as Father. It's not what we pray that's so important. It's how we pray that is important. And God, the God of the universe, created you. He created you specifically and precisely and perfectly. God of the universe, he knows you. And he loves you, and he wants you to know him intimately. He wants you to love him as well. And one of the ways that we do that is when we get to the point spiritually where we recognize God, the God of the universe, as Father, as our Father, is our heavenly Father. When I traveled to Israel, I paid very close attention when I was around children to hear them, if I could ever catch one of the kids calling out to their dad, saying "Abba, Abba, Father," which in Hebrew it's more than just Father. It's very intimate. It's like our word "daddy." And I got to hear a couple of young ones say "Abba, Abba." They were calling out to their dad. They were at the pool, around the pool there, and they were calling for their dad. When we address the God of the universe, we have the privilege of knowing him as our Father and addressing him not in just pure respect, but in intimacy as "Abba, Daddy." Oh, dear Daddy. The Lord's Prayer, this model, begins with intimacy, knowing God intimately, the same God that is the Ancient of Days, that one day will judge all wrongs. We get to address him as our Daddy with such intimacy. Proper prayer begins with connection, connecting our souls with the God of the universe, and then it goes into some communication. When you and I pray, connect with God before we ever communicate with him. All of us have a father, an earthly father. Everyone here does. Or we had one. Some were good, some were great, some weren't so great. Maybe some were downright bad. All of us have a father, and our experiences vary from one extreme to another. And what we think of when we think of father and when we think of dad, let me tell you, the God of the universe, this Abba Father. The Hebrews, I believe, had it right. They had a name for God that was simply made up of the letters YHWH. It's where we get the word Yahweh from, but to them, it was just letters because God the Father is so holy, he couldn't even be addressed directly. There's no word YHWH because such is the holiness of God. And we get to call upon him and address him. And let me tell you, this Yahweh, our God, you can trust him. No matter the experience you had with your earthly father, good, bad, or ugly, this God of the universe is trustworthy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Father, Abba, Daddy, we recognize his humanity. And then it goes on and it says, our Father in heaven. This is where we transition from recognizing God as Father, as Abba, as Daddy, his humanity, to his deity. Our Father in heaven, you are my Father, but you're also in heaven. You, God, are God. And you, God, are seated in heaven. You're seated in majesty on the throne, this incredible throne that I can't wait someday to get to see. Father is the humanity, and heaven, heavenly Father, recognizes his deity. Proper prayer shows intimacy with this God. It shows recognition of who our God is and that we are coming to the sweet Father that's seated at the throne in all power and glory and majesty and dominion. Proper prayer shows reverence and respect for our God. We bow our heads, we remove our caps, we close our eyes to show reverence and respect to our God. We try to teach our children, it's not about what we pray. You can say any words you want. It's how we pray. When we pray, we show respect. And then we ask for whatever we need. Proper prayer shows reverence and respect. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Is this next line, your name be honored as holy. Back in the Old Testament days when they had the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant that was the symbolic presence of God, and the Ark had all of its own rules and regulations, and you don't dare touch it or you would die. And they would put the Ark in the middle of the tabernacle, and then they finally built the temple, and in the innermost part of the temple they had the Holy of Holies, that place where only the highest priest could go one time a year, and he had to be ritualistically cleansed and purified and go through all this huge process to part the veil and to go back in there to be at the presence of God. Such is his holiness, his utter perfection. Moses speaking directly with God. He wanted to just simply see God. And God said, you can't and live, but I'll show you my back for just a second. And it just lit Moses up and terrified people because of the change that happened to Moses, simply getting a glimpse of God's back. Such is the holiness and the perfection of our God. In Isaiah's prophecy, when Isaiah gets a glimpse and the vision of God seated on the throne, and the train of God's robe fills the entire room, and smoke is going, and angels are singing and flying and covering their faces, such is the holiness of God. And it just about ruined Isaiah. He was undone. He didn't know what to do. Such is the holiness of our God. YHWH. We get the word Yahweh. God's name is so holy, we should tremble at the mere utterance of it. Have you and I ever been guilty of casually coming to God in prayer? His name is the name that is above every name. Proper prayer, this model that Jesus has laid out, begins something like, "Oh my God, you are my heavenly Father. You are holy and perfect and majestic, and you are all powerful. And God, you are seated on the throne, holy and perfect are you." Proper prayer begins with reverence and respect. Let me tell you, brothers and sisters, never use the name of my God as a cuss word. Never take the name of the Lord in vain. I believe that one of the ways we sometimes misuse prayer, one of the ways that we hack and flail around at prayer, is lacking reverence and respect for the God of the universe that we have the privilege of addressing. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come. I love this outline, this model. Your kingdom come. Pilate, I read the Bible through chronologically every year, and I just read through the arrest, trial, crucifixion, and glorious resurrection of Jesus. And I remember so clearly when Jesus was brought before Pilate, the Jews, one of their criticisms was that Jesus had made the claim of being the king of the Jews. And Pilate says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "My kingdom isn't here. I don't have an earthly kingdom," is how Jesus responded to Pilate. "My kingdom is not here." We know very clearly that we live in a messed up world. We talk about it regularly. We brave the television and the news, and we see all the bad stuff going on here in our country and all around the world. We live in a broken world, a fallen world, a world filled with darkness. We live in a world that is not perfect now. It is not perfect yet. We live in a messed up world. And Jesus taught his disciples, this is not your home. This is not your place of residence. You are merely passing through. Jesus taught his disciples to look up to heaven, to look up to him, to look up and look forward to the future. Up and forward to the future. Look forward to the coming kingdom that Jesus would establish here on this earth. One day, Jesus is going to return. One day soon, he will return in the glorious, glorious victory. And Jesus will right all the wrongs that have been committed. Evil and sin will be judged forever. Satan and all those that have refused to accept this gift of God's grace will be judged guilty and thrown into a place that burns with like a lake of fire and sulfur for all of eternity. And there will be a new heaven coming down from heaven. Remember, just the simple presence of God is heaven. Well, one day there'll be a new heaven and a new earth brought down over Jerusalem. There'll be no more pain. There'll be no more crying. And there'll be a glory beyond any of our imagination. All disciples, all people that follow Jesus should yearn for God's kingdom to come, for God's glory to come down to earth, for his kingdom to rule and reign for forever and ever. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm asked somewhat regularly, does prayer really matter? I've prayed a lot. My mom still died from cancer. Does prayer really matter? We need a better job, a new house, a car. Does prayer really matter? I'm asked frequently, why pray? Does God actually answer prayers? And the answer is yes, we should pray. We should always pray. God does hear your prayers, and he does answer prayers. Sometimes God answers prayers with yes. Sometimes he answers prayers with no. Often I've found God answers prayers with wait. Wait. Keep coming to me. In humble recognition of me and my majesty, keep coming to me. Learn who I am. Know me greater and greater. And one day, your heart and your mind will be lined up with me and my will. And you'll begin to pray for what I want. And then I can answer your prayer with a resounding yes. God answers prayer, yes, no. Often he says, wait. This world that we are living in is temporarily ruled by Satan, by the enemy. And you and I, disciples, are called to be salt and light here on the earth amidst the darkness, amidst the brokenness. And you and I, no matter what textbooks may teach today, you and I are no accident. We are not here by chance, and God has a perfect plan for each of us. He has a perfect plan and a purpose for each of us. We are all gifted with different gifts. We are to make up a healthy body. We are different parts, gifted to do different things, working together harmoniously with unity to bring much glory to the God of the universe. You're not an accident. You're here because God has a purpose and a plan for you. And it's to push back darkness, to help others find faith in a resurrected Jesus. Proper prayer always seeks God's will. God, you're my Father in heaven and you are holy. I pray that your kingdom come soon. In the meantime, Lord, what is it that you want for me right now? What is your will in my life, in this situation? God, I'm desperately seeking you to lead me to follow your voice. Speak to me. Give me opportunities to do what you want. Help me to resist not doing what you don't want. Lord, show me your will. Proper prayer always seeks God's will. Your will be done here on earth as it already is up there in heaven. Prayer, all prayer is answered. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no. A lot of times it's wait as God seeks us to line up with him, to line up with what he wants, to fervently and passionately pray for what he wants. Remember Jesus' quote from The Chosen. Prayer lines our hearts and our minds up, ready to encounter the Lord. It prepares our hearts and minds to hear from the Lord. Like paddling, prayer can be misused at times. Prayer is greatly misunderstood. Sometimes the honest truth is our prayer is not as effective as it could be, or definitely not as joyful as it should be. We should follow Jesus' model in the Lord's Prayer. Follow his model and example and understand these first three parts that he brings out, these first three petitions, knowing the intimacy of God as our daddy, as our father, that he is in heaven, that he is God, not a friend like one of our fellow brothers or sisters, that he is God and yet also Father, and that his name is above every name, that he is so holy. We should tremble in his presence, praying for his kingdom to come, his will to be done on earth as it is and in heaven. If we do that, if we follow this example, watch our prayers. Watch our prayers change and become more powerful, become more passionate, become more productive and more purposeful, and watch our prayers even become pleasurable. Pray with me. Father, thank you for your word and for this example and how it is that we're to pray to you, that it's not just a simple thing. It can be, but it can be so much more. Lord, I thank you that Jesus has taught us and shown us how to do it correctly, how to pray to you with reverence and respect and pray for you and what you want to be done in our lives and on the earth. And Lord, in that you are much glorified. Father, I thank you for this group of brothers and sisters that we can do life together. And I pray now in the name of Jesus that you will help each of us to connect with you on a deeper level through powerful, purposeful, and proper prayer. Oh, Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.